Matthew chapter 1 is where we're going to kind of park today as we consider Emmanuel. How many, like me, would say you love this season? You love this season. We can go again. You raise your hand at home. That's fine. You love this season. I love the season. I love the decorations. I love the music. By the way, great Christmas music on Clean Air Christian Radio. 90.5 there on your dial here in town. Wonderful Christmas music. Encourage you to have it on. You know, it's that season that we celebrate. And we celebrate as Christians not just joy and not just love and not just goodwill, but the joy and the love and the goodwill that is offered to this sinful world when the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, in celebration of God's gift, there is a huge emphasis in this season on gift giving. Now, I brought with me a gift that I did not wrap. My wife wrapped that. You can tell by the straight lines and the edges and the fact that it looks sparkly and nice, all right? If I had wrapped it, it's called a gift bag and tissue paper. That's about the extent of my wrapping. But in celebration of God's gift, there is a huge emphasis in this season on gift giving. And I'm happy to report that individually, I'm about done with my gift shopping and such at this point. Usually at this point, I'm just about started. Anybody still there? Just about started? Most of the men, right? So that's all right. But men, I will warn you to be careful. Studies have proven that Christmas shopping does actually raise the blood pressure of men. Sometimes to dangerous levels. And so it might just be, men, if you know that's something you struggle with, just let her know, I love you so much that I'm going to protect me this year. I'm just not going to shop. At any rate, I'll let you take that for what you will. You know, a lot of stress around gifts. Reminds me of the little boy who was struggling greatly with what he may or may not get for Christmas that year, and so much so that he decided to pray about it. And as he prayed, he said, Lord Jesus, he said, you know that I have tried to be good for the last 6 months. You know that I have tried to be good at least 6 months. And then he thought about it, and he's like, you know, that's not right. So he started over, and he said, Lord Jesus, you know that I have been good for at least 3 months of this year. And he thought, no, that's not right either. He said, Lord Jesus, I have tried to be good for at least 3 weeks of... Finally, he looked around his room, and he noticed a little nativity in the corner. He went over and he grabbed the little figurine from the nativity and he held it tight in his hand and he said, Lord Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again. Yeah. So gift giving, I mean, it can be a stressful, a big deal. But in our text this morning, you know what we read about? This morning in our text, we read how the angel of the Lord came and how he appeared unto Joseph and how he began to describe the greatest gift that has ever been given. Look with me at verse 23 one more time. The Bible says this, and behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, say it with me, church, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God. So this morning, for just a few minutes, I want us to consider one word, Emmanuel, and really try to begin to unwrap this unspeakable, indescribable gift that God gave to us this season. Would you consider with me first the mystery of God with us? The mystery of God with us. So often we say that there in Bethlehem, there with Mary and Joseph, we say God came to us, that God became man. And we say it and we don't give it a lot of thought. You consider the mystery of the incarnation, that God became a man, that God became man, that Mary, a virgin, having never known a man physically, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and conceived in her womb the very Son of God. Think about it. God became a man. Can we meditate on the mystery? That God became a man. While the creatures of the earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. The omnipotent one made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to become completely dependent upon the nourishment of a teenage girl. Think not just that God became a man, but God, it's a fetus, holiness, sleeping in a womb, the creator of all life, choosing to be created as human life. That God was given eyebrows and elbows and kidneys and a spleen. That God had come near. You know, I just don't understand it. You know, if I were he, if I were God, which is I know it's a very dangerous place to go. But if I were God, I could think of about a million ways that I could choose to reveal myself to mankind. All of them involve a volcano somehow. I can think of about a million ways that I could reveal myself to mankind. But he came, not as a flash of light. He came, not as an unapproachable conqueror. He came as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him, the hands that first held God, were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. The Bible describes it like this in Philippians chapter number 2, that we might have the mind, beginning in verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, the emptying, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. John describes it this way in his gospel, beginning in chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. The Bible says in verse number 3 that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Mighty God. But then in verse number 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The gospel writer Luke in his gospel chapter 2 and verse number 6 and 7 describes it as such. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, feeding trough for animals in a cave, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mighty God, a helpless babe. All that he might be, Emmanuel, God with us. You cannot consider Emmanuel without considering the mystery of God with us. This morning we cannot consider Emmanuel, the indescribable, unspeakable gift God has given without considering the mystery of God with us, but also without considering the magnitude of God with us. You know, as we consider that thought, that God became man, that the creator of all life chose to be created as the most helpless of human life, it's a beautiful thought. But that by itself is like a beautifully wrapped empty box. I mean, it's wonderful for us to look at and it's wonderful for us to think about, but you know what? Other than it being a pretty thought, what more does it mean to us? Can I tell you, church, that Emmanuel, that God with us, is not an empty box. Emmanuel is not just a pretty prop. Emmanuel is not something to be set on the shelf and admired. Consider with me the magnitude of God with us. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2 in verse number 9 that this, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness. He told the disciples there in John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 9, he said, Jesus said unto them, have I been with you so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Paul wrote in Colossians that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what we need to do this Christmas season is we don't just need to look at a picture of a baby in a manger and look at it like it's a pretty box, a gift that was given to us. We need to get a hold of that gift. We need to begin to unwrap that gift. We need to begin to appropriate that gift to see the magnitude of what God gave us when he gave us Emmanuel. You know, if you're going to get to know God, can I give you some advice? Get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, when we consider Jesus, Emmanuel, do you know who we're also considering? Elohim from the Old Testament. The one we're introduced to back in Genesis chapter 1, who created the heavens and the earth. Because the Bible says through Jesus, all things were created by him and for him. So when we consider Emmanuel, we are considering Creator God. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one who picked up the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We consider Emmanuel. When we consider Emmanuel, when we consider Jesus, we consider Jehovah. You know, the one who met Moses there at the burning bush when Moses said, who should I tell him sent me? And God there said to Moses, you tell him I am that I am. And Jehovah there, the covenant maker and covenant keeper of Israel, as Jesus, Emmanuel, looked on those people around him and he said, before Abraham was, I am. So as we consider Jesus, the magnitude of Jesus, Emmanuel, we consider Jehovah, the great I am. When we consider Jesus, the magnitude of Emmanuel, we also find that Old Testament name of God, Adonai. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider the magnitude of Jesus, Emmanuel, we also consider the Old Testament name of God, Jehovah Nissi, or our banner in battle, as Jesus looked at his followers and he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. As we consider Jesus, Emmanuel, we consider that Old Testament name of God, Jehovah Rohi. Or God, my shepherd. Because Jesus is the good shepherd. Who not only knows his sheep, but has given his life for his sheep. As we consider Jesus, Emmanuel, we consider the Old Testament name of God, El Elyon, or God the Most High. Because we know that Jesus, we know that Emmanuel, even today, is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is God Most High. we consider Jesus, Emmanuel, we consider the Old Testament title and name of God, El Shaddai, God Almighty, remembering that as Jesus prepared to ascend and depart this world, he looked at his disciples and he said, fellas, listen to me. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Ladies and gentlemen, so often we look at the babe in the manger and we think, oh, isn't that nice? No, consider the magnitude of what we receive when we receive Jesus. Consider the magnitude of what occurred when the mystery of God became flesh. God became man, was given to us. When God gave us Emmanuel, we didn't get some cheap knockoff. When God gave us Emmanuel, we didn't get some pretty display piece. Sometimes we are guilty of looking at Jesus and treating him like a gift that says batteries required. That yes, it's nice, but if I'm going to have a complete life, I need a little something more. No, ladies and gentlemen, when God gave us Emmanuel, God gave us everything we would ever need. You say this morning, I need a Savior. I am lost. I am not right with God. I need a Savior. I need to be saved. And I tell you, God sent Emmanuel to save his people from their sins. You say this morning, I'm just so lost. I need somebody to stand with me. I need somebody to speak for me. You know, God gave Emmanuel. God gave Jesus that he might be an advocate. You say, you know what? I'm just so weak. I just feel so empty. I need something, someone to sustain me. God gave us Emmanuel. God gave us Jesus that he might be the bread and the water of life. You think, I need something to build my life on. My life is in shambles. I need something solid to put my foot on. I need something real to build my life on. Can I tell you, God gave Emmanuel. God gave Jesus that he might be the cornerstone, that he might be that rock that never fails. You say this morning, I just need somebody who will hear me. I need somebody to hear the cry of my heart. I need somebody to hear me, to forgive me. He gave us Emmanuel that he might be our great high priest. You say this morning, I just need someone to be with me. Emmanuel says, I am. You say this morning, I need somebody to direct me. I need somebody to lead me. And Emmanuel says, hey, I am the light of the world. You say, I need somebody to free me. This life has bound me. There's so much bondage and there's so much burden and there's so much baggage. Emmanuel says, hey, I am the deliverer. You say, I need somebody to enliven me. He says, I am the true vine. You say, I need somebody to overcome for me. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the victorious one. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is not a gift with batteries not included. He is all that we could ever need. And the Son of God became a man. That he might enable men to become the sons of God. You don't need another self-help book. You don't need a manual. You need Emmanuel. So as we consider the magnitude of God with us, that we might spend a little more time unwrapping, appreciating, and appropriating the magnitude of what God has given to us. So we consider this morning Emmanuel. And behold, a virgin shall be with child. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We consider first this morning the mystery of God with us. We consider secondly this morning the magnitude of God with us. Can I conclude this morning with the message of God with us? What does Emmanuel mean? I will never wrap this human brain around what happened when God became man, when the Holy Ghost of God overshadowed Mary and God became man. I will never wrap this brain around what happened that day. And to be honest, I will never completely wrap my brain around the magnitude of what God gave us that day when he gave us Emmanuel. But what is the message? What is the message of Emmanuel? What is the meaning of God with us? And it is simply this, that we are not alone. Amen. We are not alone. Emmanuel, God, is with us. That he left his throne in heaven and he came and lived among us as us. And I'm going to tell you, it is strange to think of God this way. And it seems almost irreverent, doesn't it? To suggest or to think that the eternal creator chose to be created in Mary's womb. It just doesn't seem right. I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll take a lot of the humanity out of it. Because you see, it's much easier to think about Jesus without the messiness of humanity. You know, especially around Christmas time, we sing songs like Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. You ever been in a barn? You ever been in a barn? You know, when we think about that night, so often we clean the manure from around the manger. We Febreze the smell of animal urine away in our hearts and minds. We clean the shepherds up. They look real nice, don't they? We rarely consider that Jesus had to wipe the sweat out of his eyes just like you and I do. We don't often allow ourselves to consider that Jesus would have snored or blew his nose or maybe even hit his thumb with a hammer. But church, consider with me, if we take the humanity out, we no longer have God with us. He came into the mire and the muck of our world. He did. He came into the muck and mire of our world so that he could pull us out. Emmanuel, God with us. We are not alone. Let's make it even more personal. Emmanuel, God with us. I am not alone. I don't have to stay in my sin and shame this morning because I am not alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. And I'm going to tell you, you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never taken that step where you have personally received the gift that God gave us on that day. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to stay one more moment in your sin and in your shame because God has given us Emmanuel. God is with us. And the Bible says there on that first Christmas tree, there's some 33 odd years later that Jesus Christ died on that cross, that his royal red blood was shed. You know why red is the color of Christmas? Not because of Santa Claus and not because of the state of your bank account when it's all done. But red is a beautiful color of Christmas because it reminds us of that first real Christmas tree where Emmanuel died to pay for the sins of you and me. Don't have to stay in my sin and my shame because God has given us Emmanuel. God is with us. I am not alone. I'm not alone. And I encourage you this morning, we are not alone in our struggles. You know, an Old Testament passage that we often love to quote, Isaiah 43 and verse number 2, the Bible says this, when thou passest through the waters, this is God speaking to the prophet, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee, and when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And we can go to scripture after scripture after scripture that reminds us that when we go through struggles and heartaches, that we are not alone. I'm reminded even so vividly this year that Christmas is not all happy and joy for all people. But often Christmas is reminders of loss and hurt. But even in our loss and hurt, we are not alone. Emmanuel, God, is with us. We are not alone. We don't have to stay in our sin and shame. We are not alone in our struggles. Hey, let me encourage you here. We are not alone in our service. How many of us find it sometimes increasingly difficult to live for God? To know how to live for God and to know exactly what things to do to reach out to people around us. How many of us feel sometimes even more and more oppressed by this carnal, lost world around us? Yeah. But you know, even in our service, whether we are considering our service to God as we minister to the people we work with at the office or the factory, whether our service to God is the people we minister to at the school we attend, whether our service to God is what we do in parenting those souls that God has given us, or being a grandparent to those souls that God has allowed us influence over, whether our ministry is teaching or preaching or picking up boys and girls for school or helping in Awana or singing or whatever service you may have. Can I tell you this? In our service, we are not alone. You know, way back, God promised Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 12. He said this. He said, Now go, therefore, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Boy, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? For God to say, you know what? Just go and do it because I'm going to be with you. Wouldn't that be cool to be Moses and to hear that from the very mouth of God? Think about Joshua. Joshua, they're on the cusp of the promised land. Joshua, getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And there are going to be battles. They're going to be big, ugly, bloody battles. God looked at Joshua in Joshua 1 in verse number 9, and he said this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I think, man, wouldn't that be cool to be there and from the very mouth of God hear that promise. You know, pick up our sword and pick up our shield and I'm ready to go. I think about the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 1 and verse number 8. I think about the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 8. Right after God had told Jeremiah, you're going to go and you're going to preach and you're going to give them my word and they're not going to want anything you have to say. That's not really what you want to hear before you take on a ministry. You know, brother, I'm going to send you to that church and they're going to hate you every minute that you're there. Awesome. When do we go? But you look at what God said to Jeremiah. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Boy, if I knew, God told me I'm going to be with thee. Don't be afraid of them. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And sometimes you and I, we look back at these things and we're like, boy, if only I could have an experience like Moses did, or if only I could have an experience like Joshua, pick up my sword and pick up my shield, and buddy, I'm ready to battle because I know God is with me. Amen. But I think sometimes in a practical way we forget that over at the end of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, beginning in verse number 19, Jesus looked at you and I, and he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. I'm going to tell you, all nations, that's the people you work with. That's the people you live around. That's the little souls that God has entrusted into your influence and your care. That's the children in Awana, and that's the children on the bus routes. That's what we do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Look at what he says, church. He says, and lo, say it with me, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. And you say, but I'm just so confused. I don't even know what to do anymore. Is with us. And you listen to him and you begin to understand that love your neighbor was spoken by a man whose neighbors tried to kill him. That the challenge to take up your cross and to forsake and leave family for the gospel was issued by one who had kissed his own mother goodbye. Pray for those who persecute you. Came from the very lips of he who would soon be begging God to forgive his own murderers. And I am with you always are the words of a God who in one instant did the impossible to make it all possible for you and for me. That is the message of Emmanuel, the mystery of God with us, the magnitude of God with us, the meaning of God with us. We are not alone. You know, Paul Harvey tells the story of a man who is not a Scrooge. He was a kind man, a decent man, mostly a good man. He just didn't believe in Emmanuel and all that stuff that the churches talk about at Christmas time. So it didn't make sense to him that God would come to earth as a man. And he was too honest to pretend otherwise. As Paul Harvey tells the story, the man told his wife on Christmas Eve, "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he said, "but I'm not going to church with you this Christmas Eve." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite and that he'd much rather just stay at home. That he would wait up for them, and so he stayed up, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. And as the snow fell harder and harder, the man went back to his fireside chair and began again to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound. Then another. A sort of a thump or a thud. And at first he thought it must be somebody throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went out to the front door to investigate, he found only a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. The birds had been caught in the storm and in a desperate search for shelter had tried to fly through his large landscape window. Well, he couldn't just let the poor creatures lie there and freeze. So he remembered the barn where he and his children stabled their pony. The barn, that would provide a warm shelter if he could only direct the birds to the barn. Quickly, he put on a coat, galoshes, and tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide, and he turned on the light. But the birds wouldn't come. He figured food might entice them in, so he hurried back to the house and he fetched breadcrumbs and crackers and he sprinkled them in the snow, leading them to the barn. He threw handfuls of it into the barn and did everything he could, but still, to his dismay, the birds ignored the crumbs and continued to flap helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them. And instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And then the man realized that the birds, were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me. If only I can think of some way to let them know that I am not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Because every move he made tended to frighten them and to confuse them, and they just would not follow. They just would not be led. They just would not be shooed because they feared him. If only, the man thought, I could be a bird. If only I could be a bird, and then I could mingle with them. And I could speak their language. If only I could be a bird, I would tell them to not be afraid. I could show them the way to a safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see. I would have to be one of them so that they could hear. I would have to be one of them so that they could understand. And at that moment, for the first time, as the church bells began to ring in the distance, that man understood Emmanuel. In a season of gifts, we celebrate Emmanuel. He is God's gift to us. God with us. I'm going to tell you this morning, all that you could ever want and all that you could ever need is wrapped up in him. Emmanuel. He's not just a prop. He's not just a plaster baby in a decorative wood manger. He's not just a pretty package. And so the question becomes this morning, would you receive him? This morning, if you have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, never put your faith in he and what he has accomplished for you on the cross of Calvary, this morning, would you receive him? You're here this morning and you say, I just don't know for sure. I'm going to tell you, there was nothing that we would enjoy more than being able to take the Word of God and showing you how you can know that you know that you know that because God, Emmanuel, is with us, that we can be with him. Whether you're here this morning in person, watching by way of Facebook, or listening by way of radio, this morning, if you have never received the greatest gift ever given, would you come to Christ? Christian, this morning I ask you, would you receive? Would you receive? Would you receive Emmanuel? Would you receive Emmanuel this morning with a renewed sense of awe and wonder at the magnitude of what God has given us? Would you receive Emmanuel this morning with a renewed sense of appreciation for all that it means, God with us? And I wonder who this morning needs to receive Emmanuel into their hurt. I wonder who this morning needs to receive Emmanuel into their need, into their confusion, even into their joy and thanksgiving. This morning, could we receive him for all he is, Emmanuel?